Today you are here with me. Last Sunday, we started a series of teaching. We've been in this series, and even before I continue, welcome back, Pastor. Yeah, I think we are happy. I'm happy to see Pastor Jeff. Yeah, and for our visitors in church, we do have the welcome card just next to you there. Place, you are so much welcome here. This is our home, and this is our family, and you are part of our family. Amen. Yeah, we started teaching the start of this year. We started looking at the main reason why we are here. Why are we called Christians? It's because we believe in Christ. Amen. We started looking at Christ, and we did some studies, comprehensive studies about Jesus. After studying Jesus, we went on ahead and started looking at why Jesus? What did Jesus bring to us? That is what we are now. We are going deeper and deeper and deeper, believing and studying the main cause or the main purpose of our life, of ourselves here as Christians. So last week, we started looking at what Jesus did to us. He brought us salvation. On the Friday that we came here for movie night, we came in and watched the Passion of Jesus, the Passion of Christ. And from it, we could see what he went through. But that is just acting. Just imagine those years where you were just tortured for no reason. Now what about someone who they thought they had a reason and they hated him for it and they wanted him done and dusted. So what was done to him is even worse than what even we saw. And why did he do this? Because when God created the Garden of Eden and created Adam and Eve, God created a perfect, a sinless Adam. And he placed him there because he wanted to have friends with humanity at that time. But we know when you go to chapter 3, the fall of man, Adam sinned. And last Sunday we are here and we saw that is what most of us do. You ask a question, and if you did something wrong, it's someone else's mistake. That's what we did last Sunday, yeah? When we are reading here Genesis, where Adam was asked, "Where are you?" And we know the story. When Adam sinned, that is when Jesus was brought into the picture. Because God said that he's coming to save this sinful mankind after kicking Adam and Eve out of the garden. God started thinking about how to mend his relationship with God, how to make it right between you and me and God. So our story started all the way in Genesis. Before even the coming of the faithful man Abraham, before even the courageous King David, before even the prophets, even before Samuel, God wanted us to be in oneness with him. So in Genesis, God tells and prophesies and tells this the snake that or the devil that a seed is coming and this seed will crush you. And the seed years, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years pass when the seed is still being prepared. When the seed is there ready to germinate. And when it germinated, the seed popped up. Through the prophecies, they prophesied about what was to come. And Pastor Andy came in and introduced this to the to us about what happened. Amen? So this seed came up, and it was our Savior. We had hundreds that printouts that we were given about the prophecies of Jesus and how it was, how Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies. And through all that time, God is there trying to mend this relationship. When Jesus was here, he was not welcome by the main religion at that time. That's why we are here. I don't know if Jesus was welcome and was not sacrificed, if we could have been here. The sacrifice that Jesus did when he said, it's finished, it's over, it's done. The sacrifices, those are the laws that were done. They were finished. So he came to bring us closer to God. When the promise was given to Abraham, by then Abram, he was told that every nation will be blessed through you. That's why salvation came to you and me, not only to the Jews. If you read the books of Paul, he emphasized that this salvation came first to the Jews and then the Gentiles. Because when Abraham was given this promise, God promised him to be blessed, and his blessing will bless other nations. So our blessings came from the Lord. And years later, when Moses came and he was given the commandments, the law that you need to do this, that's where people now started living according to what God did. So Moses was given laws. If you want to be a righteous person, you have to follow these laws. They're written down here. Amen. Moses was given that, and then he gave it to the Israelites and told them, these are the laws that you need to follow. So everyone who followed those laws, they were right before God, or they were right with God. But as we started a few weeks ago, that these laws, up to now, it could have been sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. So God loved us, and he wanted to save us, that he gave out his only begotten son, that salvation, those sacrifices will stop by Jesus. So on the cross, all our sacrifices ended there. There is no more sacrifice. The only sacrifice that you need to do is what we're talking about today. When Jesus died, last week we were taught about forgiveness. He forgave us our sins. Through his death, he forgave us our sins. And then after you are forgiven, what next? That's what I am here to do today. So my book today, my teaching today is justification. Jesus on the cross, he justified us before God. Amen. After he's forgiven your sins, after your sins are forgiven, we were told that you need to confess your sins and your sins will be forgiven. After being forgiven, now you are justified. You are made right. You are made in good place, you know, with God the Father. Jesus came and forgave us our sins, and he made it right for us. That's what we're doing today, justification. Because last week and the weeks to come, we are in a teaching of someone help me say this. Yeah. I think I might swallow my tongue when I try to do this. Yeah, we are doing a study of salvation. We are studying salvation, that is soteriology. Oh, why can't you clap for me? I tried. So that is the study of salvation. Our salvation. We want to go deep and see, it's not just you are saved, you are forgiven, you're justified. No, we want to go deeper and see what's the meaning of being saved. What's the meaning of What did Jesus, why did he have to die in the cross for you and me? That is what we're going to look for. When Jesus died, he came in, and the Bible says that he did not just come to suppress the law, but he came to give us laws. Our law is that you love God, your God, with everything in you. Everything in you, your body, your soul, your wealth, everything. You dedicate it to God. And when you do so, you are in good terms with God. So for now, we need to understand about why this is so important to us. Are we just here because there is a day in a calendar that says it's a Sunday? Are we just here because you've been brought up being told you need to go to church? Or did you make that decision? And are we living as per the decision we made? Amen? This is the greatest salvation that... This is the greatest gift that we'll never receive anywhere. The gift of salvation. The salvation is the greatest gift that you can never be given by any other person. And if you're given a gift, don't you take care of it. You're given the best thing that you can ever have. Amen. Some of us here, we have loans, we have debts, we have everything that makes you negative. Yes? Is there anyone who doesn't have even a credit card? Or apart from my Nathan and Asha. And the rest. Every one of us, we have a debt. Amen? Just imagine how you can value yourself. How many negatives can you be? For me, I can be a lot of negatives, yeah? Let me talk about myself. And Jesus, one time, he came in and he taught us about this. And he said, he spoke about two people. If you are a negative £1 million, yeah? I go to the bank and they give me £1 million. A negative I have to pay. And you go to the bank, they give you 100. And then one time you hear in the news that the bank has forgiven everyone. Whatever you have, that's yours. Who will be the first person to praise this bank? The negative. Yeah? The person who had 100 will be like, oh, why couldn't I even 1,000? Yes? So Jesus, when he came, he told about that story about two people. Someone who is forgiven or his debt is forgiven less doesn't value much. But that one in which you see, I was doomed for death. And someone comes and tells you, you are forgiven. Just imagine people who are in death row. You are looking at the calendar and then you'll be like, all right, on that date it's coming. And every single day the sun is coming up. You're just counting days. And then as you are just nearing your line to face the firing squad, you just see a letter and say that you are forgiven. How appreciative can you think this person can be? That is the salvation that Jesus gave us. That God gave us. We were destined for death. But he came and told us, no, you not die. You are saved. We need to value that act of salvation. Amen? Jesus justified us. And when you talk about justification, even if you look in the dictionary says this justification is to be declared or made righteous in the sight of God. You are made right with God. Amen? Just imagine the person, you have made someone angry. And then they come and tell you, okay, don't worry about that. We can go out for tea and coffee. At that time, you'll start texting. Oh, when are we meeting? When are we doing this? But before, even you didn't want even to meet this person. Have you ever felt you've wronged someone that even you don't want to be in the same room with them because you feel ashamed, you feel down. And then he comes and tells you, oh, don't worry about that. Even I forgot about that. That's what justification means. To be made right. That at any given time, if you're made right with God, you can just step in and say, oh, God, I'm here. Not like Adam, in which God said, where are you? Where are you? And he said, I heard you and I hid myself. Justification is you're told, all right, there's no more hiding. You can approach the throne with courage. You can go any time that you want. You can go before God and tell God, I'm here. So when we say that we are justified, what do we mean? Or when we say that we have been declared right, what do you mean? So by righteousness, we mean made right in the sight or the viewpoint of God. So you are perfect. We've been given this analogy here sometimes. Someone stood here and another before behind him. And then when this person is looking, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus, who is justified, who is our Savior. Amen? So when God looks at us and you are forgiven and you are justified, he doesn't see your sins. He doesn't see your negativities. He doesn't see our bad things that we've done. When God looks at us, he sees us right. He sees us as clean. Amen? So, by right we mean 100% blameless. We don't have any blame before God. We are not spotted. No, we are pure before God. We are made right before God. To be justified is to have perfect standing before God. Amen? We can stand before God at any given time and tell God whatever we want because we are told, anything you say to me in prayers, I'll give it to you. So that is justification. There's someone, even God himself, in the book of Job, Job 1:1, it talks about someone who was blameless. If you read that chapter, it says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God. And he had abstained from and turned away from evil. Amen. There was this man who was right before God. He was blameless. That's the righteousness. And if you read verse 8 in the same book, it is God himself saying, have you seen one of this person down there who is blameless? Amen? That is justification. And if you see how Job was made justified, it's because every single time he was living according to the laws that he was given. When the sons and daughters were having parties, he could go after the party, go and offer sacrifice for forgiveness. Oh, God, forgive my sons. Maybe they were there and they thought ill about you. And those acts, the deeds that they were making and they were doing, they're the ones which made Job justified. And this one was seen as sinless. By then, the laws, how were you made justified during the time of the law? Is that if you followed the law. If you followed the law to the latter and did whatever God had commanded people to do, not looking to the left or the right, you were justified by your deeds. But if you go to the left or look to the right, your deeds took you off the rail and you had to offer more sacrifices and do other things. Amen? For us to be made justified, for us to be justified in our era, what are we supposed to do? It's just a simple thing. Faith. Faith in Jesus. Justified, you cannot be made right or righteous by our deeds. Amen? We cannot be made right by thinking like it's a Sunday, you do all the laws, you follow everything as written. No. Our deeds cannot make us righteous. Amen. We don't do things to be made right. God gives us a gift of righteousness. God himself will give you the gift of righteousness. And when you are given, when you get saved, and that gift is given unto you, Jesus says that you are now sinless, you are now clean. You are supposed to approach God in righteousness because he has made you right. What are we supposed to do is to maintain that righteousness. Amen? We are righteous because he made us righteous. Amen? We are not righteous because of what we do. Because in our life now, we are told by things or by our community that righteousness is by what you might do. There are other religions that says for you to be right, you need to do right things. But in our belief, we believe that Jesus is the only person who can make you right. Amen? It is not by what you do or what you say. If let's read Romans 1, 16 to 17. That is where we can find more. How can we learn how to be righteous? Amen? Romans 1, 16 to 17. It says, Romans 1, 16 to 17. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Amen? Is there anyone here who is ashamed of the gospel of God? That you cannot tell someone that you're saved? Because Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Amen? If we want to see the righteousness of God, we have to go back to the gospel. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Amen? From the first Adam to the last Adam, and that grace is flowing to us. That's how we can get to know more about how to be right before God. And it's just by faith in Jesus. So it is not about our deeds. It is not, you cannot achieve anything by doing, by working. Because last Sunday we had a verse here which says that someone who works towards something, he's paid, yeah? But for this, you cannot work. It's not that I have to work to be made righteous by God. It is only by having my faith renewed in God. Amen? I'll just give you this to read sometimes and I'll talk about it. That's Luke 18, 9 to 14. So this is a story about two men that Jesus told. That two people went to pray. One who made himself, or he saw himself as righteous. Self-righteousness. At the time of Jesus, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those people who were living in the temple and working in the temple, they were given the right to think that they are right. Every other person was a sinner. So when they were walking in the streets, you are not even supposed to touch them because you touching them will make them unrighteous. So they had made themselves self-righteous. Like what we have other people today, they also do that. They make themselves self-righteous by their doings. Amen? So if you read this, Jesus finished that parable by saying, when those two people, because when these people were praying, the Pharisees stood there and was shouting, oh God, you know me, I'm as clean as forever. I'm not like that tax collector who is there, who is sinful, who is full of sin. But now this tax collector, when he went there, Jesus said that even he could not even face the heavens because of what he felt. And he told God, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I pray that you forgive me. So after telling this story, Jesus concluded that when these two men walked out of the temple, out of the prayer house where they were, Jesus says that the tax collector is the man who went home justified before the eyes of God because he was humble. He just knew that to be made right only came from God. Self-righteousness, you can make yourself self-righteous by doing anything, but you are not righteous. Amen? You are not right. You cannot go before God. Nothing can make someone righteous apart from the gift of God. God himself is the only one who can give us that righteousness. And when you are made right, when you get salvation, we need to maintain it and live by that. Amen? There's some other things, the benefits of being justified. What are some of the things that we can boast? What are some of the achievements or some of the free passes, the VIP passes, after God has justified you, after God has made you right? There are some things that you can enjoy. The first one is that you are confident. Amen? Because now you know God has made me right. He saved me. He's given me the power. Now I can approach God's throne. Amen? Any single time I know God has made me right and I need to live right. Amen? That one is that God gives, you have the confidence to approach God. That is Hebrews 16, where he says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. You cannot approach someone's house or anything in confidence if you are not friends with him. Just imagine, you just think, all right, I'm hungry, and I know when you're coming in, there's a house there by the church, and you think, oh, by this time, I think they have their lunch ready. Let me just go and serve myself. Can you do that? Even if I find you at my place, the first thing is 999. What's the... Because I don't know you. But if we are friends, and even that this time I go home and then I find someone cooking, and then I look through the window, I'll be like, oh, I know him. I'm free to go in. Yes? That is just, we have the confidence to walk in on the throne of God and tell God whatever we want. Amen? That is being made justified. We are justified before God, and we have that confidence in us that we can raise our hands and say, yes, God, I pray that you heal this person. I pray that you do this. And God is also confident in answering you. Amen? Another VIP pass is that God answers our prayers. That is another benefit of being justified. God answers your prayers. When you pray, you have that free ticket to go to God and tell God with confidence what you're praying for and what you need, and God will be there. He'll answer your prayer there and then. Amen? And another thing is that we are reconciled with God. Our friendship that when Adam broke that friendship between himself and God and he sinned, that friendship was broken. But when you come to God and Jesus and God justifies you, that friendship is back. Amen? We are made friends with God. That's in Romans 5, 1. Romans 5, 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we've been justified by faith, we are at peace with God. You're not fighting. You are at peace with God. You are friends with God. The next one is that we are not condemned. There's no condemnation. When Jesus makes you righteous, there's no condemnation. Amen? We are blessed. That's the other one. We are blessed. And God will bless us abundantly. He'll open the windows, the doors of heaven, and your storehouses will be full. And the last one is that we have promise of eternal life. When we are made right with God, we have that belief. We believe of eternity with God, whom at that time we are at peace with. We are made and we are given that ticket that after this life, there is eternal life for you. And even your confidence, because the person that you're going to live with is your friend, as what you've said. He doesn't condemn you. And he has been answering your prayers. So you know where we're going. Because even Jesus said, where I'm going, you know the place. Amen? Lastly, as I finish, as I wrap up, we have been given this gift, a free gift. It is not just mine. It is everyone's. Amen? We have been given this free gift that wherever or whatever we do, we have that righteousness of God. So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to live right by it. Okay? Because just as Adam, only one man brought in sin to the whole world. And that sin, only one man, Jesus Christ, saved us from that sin. Amen? This one man saved us from that sin, from condemnation. Our friendship, which was broken, Jesus came and closed the gap. And he made us right. Okay? David wrote and said, where can I hide from you, God? Where can I hide? If I go up in the mountains, you're there. If I go deep, you're there. So just imagine we've been given this salvation. This free gift of salvation. And we play around with it. When the Son of Man will come, where will we hide? Where will we hide when Jesus comes and says, I gave you this free gift of righteousness? Are you righteous? Where will we hide ourselves? That one is found in Hebrews 2:3. How will we escape from this? Amen? And when we are made righteous, John 1:12, the book of John 1:12, when we've been made righteous, what does Jesus say? John 1:12. It says, but to all who believed him, amen, because we've been told it's just by faith, we are made right. So John 1:12 says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. Everyone who believed and accepted him, you are given the right to become children of God. This word we are given today so that we can be saved from condemnation, so that we are justified. Amen. When you believe, you are given the right to become children of God. Maybe you are here and you know yourself that maybe you've been looking to the left or to the right. Or there's a time that you have not been doing what is right. Or you're not in good terms with God. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a free gift, a free ticket. Amen? We've been given a free ticket to heaven. Amen? Let us take this free ticket. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, if you're here and you think that you have not been living right with Jesus, don't look around you. Don't lose this opportunity. Don't look at the friends. Maybe your friends know you and know what you've been doing and think that you are not a true Christian. Don't look at them and feel ashamed of giving your life to Jesus. Don't look at your family and you feel that they are condemning you, so God is condemning you. God is giving us a free pass. Amen? Let us take this message. You are here for a reason, and you are here to hear that salvation is here. Our salvation is here. Let's close our eyes and tell God, oh God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to be made right with you. We've been sinning. We've been doing what is not right. We believe in you, Jesus. As a church, as an individual, we believe in you. That you are coming to save us. You came and your salvation is here with us. We pray that Jesus, you heal our soul. We accept your salvation, O God. So if you're here with everyone eyes closed and you've never given Jesus the opportunity to be the Lord and Savior in your life, if you're here and today you want to give Jesus that opportunity, you can just raise your hand and we'll pray together. If you're here and you want to give your life back to Jesus, I'll count to five. If there's anyone who wants to give them their lives to Jesus, this is the opportunity. Five, four, three, two, one. Father God, we thank you because of this opportunity that you've given us. A free gift you've given us. We pray that you make us right, O God. We believe in your righteousness and we believe on your salvation, God. As we are going home, as we are starting the week, God bless us. Bless everyone as they are going and they are coming back. Heal those who are ill, for you are merciful. In Jesus' name, I do believe and pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you so much. Let us...